You are listening to Let's Get Wicked Deep, a dating podcast with Kelly
and Callie. We're here to cut through the BS of dating and all the chaos that can come with it these days.
Where we will have deep and meaningful conversations with laughter and fun.
It is time to get wicked deep.
Welcome to another episode of Let's Get Wicked Deep with Kelly and Callie. Welcome back to season 2, episode 3. Callie, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm recording. I can't remember if we recorded our second episode in my new house or if it was still in my old house. I don't remember, but I'm in my new house recording. So I'm really excited to be here and like in my new space, in my new area, excited about this new season that we're recording and all the fun that it's going to bring to everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that we had really given our listeners the reason why we were taking the long break, but Kelly had a big life change and a big move and we're very excited for her.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I'm very excited about all the new things. I bought my first house all by myself, which thanks to OnlyFans. Just kidding. Just kidding.
No judgment.
I'm totally getting. So I had to like move in and like put it together and all that stuff. And it's been very interesting. So lots of stuff going on behind the scenes versus in front of the screen. But so that brings us to the end of summer. So that means you are a little bit more free and open.
Yes. It has been a summer of craziness for me, dancing and, you know, just doing passion projects and hanging out with my kids and doing that kind of stuff.
I'm actually laughing at what I thought your dancing actually was and for the whole summer, what I thought you were doing. And it turns out you were not doing that at all. So I kind of laugh at the things that I just like assume in my head where I'm just like, oh, that's so weird that she's doing that, but I'm happy for her if she's happy. And it's like the funniest thing, my assumption of you dancing on a dock as the cruise ships go by. Literally thought you were like a street dancer the whole summer.
Performer, yeah.
Yeah, like and people on the ship are like waving, like, oh, look at those street peddlers out there dancing for us. And that's not what you were doing. Not even close to what you were doing. And I just thought that was hilarious when I found out you were inside.
Yeah. Well, and oh, by the way, if you see like a grown woman that looks like me a lot of the time and it's like, oh, what do you do? I'm a dancer. People are like, oh. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Interesting. I love how you start off with the dancer out of everything else you do. You go straight for the jugular. I'm a dancer. Right. And you look at the husband.
Right.
That's so funny.
Yeah, no, I'm not taking off my clothes. I am not street performing. I have been performing on stage with a group. And it's been crazy, but it's been a lot of fun. So.
Yes, I'm excited for me personally that it's over.
Yeah, because it means we could do this again.
Yes, and we have like more time now to do the stuff that we like to do, the fun stuff, which is talking about relationships and the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, which brings us to today's topic, which is like what we are conditioned to put up with in a relationship. And this today is mainly the point of view from a female's point of view, not the men. So, you know, men have their own point of view, but seeing as we are women and we are in relationships today, we are focusing on our point of view from the female eyes, not saying men don't count because they do when they matter. But today's episode is strictly about what females are so conditioned to put up with in relationships. So if you hear me say anything negative about men, it's not my whole, I have to put this out because I'll get the emails. It's not like my whole opinion of men because I'm a very big men's advocate, but sometimes men do fucking piss me off, not gonna lie. So today is one of those days we are talking about the female perspective.
Yeah, yes. And if our male listeners have strong feelings about what it is that we say on here, feel free to reach out. I mean, we'd love to hear your perspective as well.
Yes, absolutely. I love to hear the perspective of men because men obviously do matter. We all love men. I have 3 boys. I have 4 brothers. I have a guy that I'm dating. You know, I have men all around me. So I do care about men. So with that, you know, out of the way, No one thinks we're hating on men or we're women hating men. So it's not it, everybody. Calm down. So we're conditioned to put up with bullshit in relationships. I'm just going to stop there.
Yes. Yeah. Females, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, I feel like our role, I mean, and this is just simply at looking through history, you know, a female's role in relationships was to be, you know, the caretaker, the person that takes care of the home, the person that raises the children. And for some of us, that is still our role. Mm-hmm. For some of us, we play many, many roles and wear many hats, but the history of women still, I think, greatly affects how people think that we should operate in relationships today.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I was thinking of a completely different direction of this conversation. So I love the fact that we have our topic and we both think two different things. But I think like what you're saying is absolutely accurate. Like we're so, like the women are supposed to be the caretakers and this and that. Now on the flip side of that, I think that men and women have their like traditional sort of like roles where women still want to feel safe and protected and men want to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. So the problem that I have with like what we're conditioned to do in these relationships is you are, as a woman, to a degree, is expected to take care of the kids, take care of the house, cook the dinners, wash the laundry, fold the laundry, all the stuff that my cleaning lady does. So yeah. We're expected to do all of those things in a relationship. And when that happens, we want something in return, right? Where it's like the guy or whoever comes home and they have a conversation with you, or they don't fuck other women behind your back, or not on social media doing shit they're not supposed to be doing. So you're at home holding down the fort, changing the diapers, doing all the stuff. And then he's out there to a degree doing whatever he wants. And then when you complain about it and you say, hey, I haven't really seen you much. And then they jump on you. And it's like, well, now you're nagging me. But wait a minute, I'm doing all of these things. Why am I not getting anything in return? And it seems that men have a more difficult time with giving back like what they've received. Not all men, obviously. I know I have to keep saying that so no one writes me fucking letters. But what I'm talking about is just generalization. You know, is a lot of men are like this. Again, my brother's not like this and he's a man, so don't come at me. So it's, you know, when do we as women say, hey, these are my boundaries and this is like what I want back from you, or I can't do this anymore?
Yeah, I think, you know, I personally advocate to my clients about doing that along the way, because and again, this is right on brand. We as women are conditioned to take it and shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I mean, you take what you're like, and especially if you have a man that's providing for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have a man that is going to work and earning the bacon and you have a nice, pretty life, you better shut your damn mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, there is this conditioning in us that basically says that if he is doing his job in providing for you, then you just need to take whatever else that comes with and just shove it down. You just need to be okay with it. And that's not the fucking truth. So.
No, it's definitely not. And it's interesting too, because like, it's so true. Like if you are being cared for by a man, so like I was married for a long time. He was the breadwinner. He wasn't like that. He wasn't like, you know, you do this and you do that. But I also know what it feels like to be the woman that's like, doesn't really have much of a say because he makes the money and usually his final word goes. But what I'm also noticing now is women who are independent and they make their own money and they have their own house and they do their own things are still expected to just take it. You know, they're still expected to just be like, well, yeah, but like, you're like still the woman. And it's like, wait, what? They don't say that like verbally. But it's like, that's like how that stuff like comes across, where it's like, you know, men get especially intimidated with women who make more money than them, who are more successful. And there is a fine line, I feel, because I do know men like to be the provider and the ones that are like the caretakers. And if they find a woman that they don't need to take care of, it's embedded in them where it's like, well, what does she need me for? Like, I want to provide something. I want to like do something for her. But if she doesn't need that anymore, he feels kind of like obsolete. So it's like, are we as women supposed to like calm it down so the guy that we're with feels like, oh, I can be a caretaker? You know, like where is that? Like now that we're kind of coming up at the same time, where is that line that we like draw in the sand? Do we pretend we're afraid of spiders so he can come in and be the hero? You know, do we go to the store and buy a little baby mouse so he can capture it and be the savior? Like, what do we do? If there's a mouse in my house, I'm going to get it and do something with it. I'm not going to call someone to come in and take care of it. I'm going to do it myself because that's what I've been conditioned to do. But now that if there's a man here, it's like, what do? Oh no, heavens, my, there's a mouse in my house. Can you please get it? You know, like, what are we supposed to do? I don't know what we're supposed to do as like women who have like been sort of left alone in relationships while we're raising these kids. And then we come out of it strong and it's like, oh no, you're too strong. Oh, I'm too strong. You're too strong. Wait, am I in? You know? And then it's like, I cheated on you because you're too strong. I cheated on you because you're needy. I cheated on you because you complain too much. I cheat on you because I'm doing this. And it's like, well, what can I do? Well, nothing. I'm going to cheat on you just because I'm a fucking cheater. It's right. Like, okay, so where am I safe? You know, like where am I safe?
Right. I feel like women are stuck in this total state of confusion because of what you just described, because we never know what is the right thing to do. Right. As a woman that I felt like before my husband and I were even together, I had a solid career. I bought my own house. Like I was in that I don't need no man sort of state. Not that I didn't want a man. I just didn't need. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a big difference there.
Huge.
So it's like, I don't need some white knight to swoop in and rescue me because I can rescue myself. What I need is a partner. So
yes,
if you want me, this is what this looks like. This looks like, you know, me supporting myself. If you want to, so when my husband and I moved in together, he moved into my place. He offered for me to move into his place, but I didn't feel comfortable with that. And he respected that. And that was great. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was like, I'm going to buy my own place. If you want to live together, if you feel like we're ready for that step, you can move into my place. And the reason being that if things don't work out and we break up, you've still got your place to go back to. I mean, he has his house as well. So
yeah,
like you could always rent out your house. And then if we break up, you still have a place. Whereas if I move into your place and we break up, I have nowhere to go and I'm a single mom.
Right.
You know, there are just these practical things in my mind that it's like, this doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And that's part of who I am, just as I try to think practically.
Yeah.
But you're right. There is this, before my husband, I always felt like the too much girl, you know, my demands were too high. I was maybe too independent. My standards were too high. I'm too this, I'm too that, I'm too needy, I'm too, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you can only take so much of that and feel knocked down, like, yes, to where you do start to have that mindset, like, oh, maybe I do need to go to Target and buy the mouse and then make him feel like it's needed. You know, maybe that's what men want. And so it does make you question yourself and who you actually are, because men are conditioned to like, well, this is supposed to be my role. So if that's already your role, what the hell am I here for?
Mm-hmm. Wait, do they sell mice at Target?
I have no. Can you tell that I live on an island with no Target?
If you saw a mouse at Target, that's not for sale. There's no SKU number on that mouse at Target. I guarantee it. That mouse should not be there.
I'm so lonely here on my island with no Target.
I'm like, what goes on in Alaska? What are they sell? Wild animals at Target? I don't think I'm going to cancel my trip.
Yeah.
That's so funny. But no, it's true. It's like, how do we know? You know, when you find and I know that there are so many more good men out there than bad men. I'm not saying bad men like, you know, bank robbers and, you know, bad criminal crooks. I just mean men who are not like ready to date, ready for like relationships. There are so many more men out there that are ready, and they are so ready to do it, and they've been hurt by other women that they don't know who they can trust. And it's very difficult to find two people on the same page, like in the same place, so that want to come together and be like, yes, let's be partners. And I think if we approach it more of like teammates, partnership versus like boyfriend, girlfriend, then you're going to get a little bit further in life. Because if you say boyfriend, girlfriend, then you feel like you have these roles to like live out, you know, where it's like, but if you, it's your partner, you're in this together and it's just the two of you. But it is really difficult because women are conditioned to take a lot of stuff in the same way men are conditioned to like pay for everything or open car doors and do these things. And it's a tough kind of like thing to like figure out. Like I can open my own doors just fine. Would it be nice if someone did that? Heck yeah, it would be super nice, you know? And like exactly what you said, like, I don't need anyone. I don't need anyone, but I would like to have someone. I want someone to like choose every single day instead of like my first relationship in my marriage, it was out of necessity. Again, don't come at me. We loved each other, blah, 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 but we weren't a match made in heaven. My second relationship was also out of necessity. So in this third relationship, I'm choosing this relationship, which means I get to choose when it ends.
Yeah.
I don't have to stay because I need something. If this relationship ends, I will not be moving out of my house. My car will not be going anywhere. My financial status is going to stay exactly the same as, probably go up even more. You know, like I won't have to change anything that I'm doing. My gym won't change. Nothing. My hair color is sure as fuck not going to change. I'm not putting tattoos on my body. That's for damn sure. You know, so it's like nothing is going to like happen to me where I'm going to start at ground zero again. So I've set up my life where I can take care of myself. And there is a part of me that's like, man, I'm kind of sick of eating dinner alone every night. You know, like I kind of would like it if someone came home after work and I could make him dinner, or I could do his laundry, or I could, you know, sit there and listen to him talk or watch a movie or whatever. You know, it's like, those are things that I do want to have. So,
yeah,
but it seems to be like, because we're so conditioned to take certain things, it's more and more difficult to find someone on the same page at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's so interesting because it's like, if you are in that place of, I'm really ready for a relationship, I'm really ready to find someone that is compatible with me, like, where do you go?
Mm-hmm.
I think that you go on the dating apps because that's what dating is. However, or there are so many problems with the dating apps, and that's a whole other TikTok. But like, where do you go when you are actually like ready for commitment? And it's a question that I don't think really has a solid answer, because so many of the websites and apps and things where people are going to meet people are overrun by like, oh no, I'm just perusing, or
yeah,
I'm looking for a hookup, or I'm not looking for anything serious. Well, then that's not really, in my opinion, like what dating is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to go window shop, go to a fucking mall, you know,
mm-hmm.
You want to sit there and peruse pretty women, then like go find a park bench and I mean, it's equally as creepy.
Again, what is going on in Alaska? I don't know what is happening there. I need to call someone. I think I just call someone.
It's its own place. Yeah. Yeah. Very different here.
I want to talk real quick about the women that are in the park. Okay. So like, what kind of women are in the park where you could just go sit and peruse? What kind of women do you have? And like, what are they wearing?
Yeah. Like all the beautiful women just show up to the park and walk around in circles so that the men can just stare.
Is this like a weekly thing? Is there a certain time of day that this happens? Are they street performers? Like, what is going on?
Yeah. I mean,
that's hilarious.
It just makes no sense. Like, because I hear people talk about the apps and like how women are on there and men are on there to actually find a relationship. And it's like, everyone that's reaching out is, you know, wanting to keep it casual and sending me dick pics and, you know, just non-commitment, you know, ghosting, all of the things that you hear again and again.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what the hell are people here for?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a difficult thing. The last time I was on this, I personally like the apps. I know we don't agree on that. I like the apps. I think they're fun. But the last time I was on there was 4 years ago. It'll be 4 years in November was the last time I was on a dating app. So I know that they're much different now. Just in such a short amount of time, they can change like drastically. So from what I'm seeing, like more and more of the dating scene, it is getting more every day. It's getting more difficult to like date and find somebody on the same page, because when you are talking and you have a great connection, they can hang up and talk to Sally Sue, you know, and they can have a great connection. Then I'm going to talk to, you know, this guy or that girl. And you have all these connections going on. It's like, if you have all these connections going on, how do you know like which one's actually real? And like, what are you really looking for? So I'm finding that when the people are not ready to date, ready for a relationship, because I've found that a lot of people are on there because they are going through heartbreak and they don't know how to like heal on their own. So they go and they just start dating. So then you get caught up and then you are talking to someone who's going through a breakup and you have no idea, but you're building this connection. And then when they tell you, oh, or they ghost you or something, you're supposed to just take it and not have your feelings about it. So we're conditioned to just be like, oh, yeah, I got ghosted again. It's all good. No, it's not all good. It's bullshit. You know, it's like people need to realize like you're dealing with another human being who has feelings and emotions, and they're not going to be happy if you're going to like, you know, string them along in this way. So honesty goes a very long way. Hey man, I just broke up with Sally. I just want to fuck 15 girls and then heal. Okay, thanks. I think you're super hot. Let's do it. Or hey, thanks for the honesty. I think that's super attractive. When you're ready, hit me up. Oh, I just solved that problem for you. Like what else?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, it's so frustrating, but people are not used to being honest because they're afraid of what is on the other side of being honest, which is normally someone's like receiving it very well. And they love it when you're honest. That's like such a great thing, but we're conditioned now to just not trust anyone and to think they're lying and to just like, you know, search through a phone or search through social media and this and that. And there are just like so many moving parts to it that it gets more and more difficult to really put your heart out there and date again.
Yeah. But, you know, again, I feel like it's very interesting where we are at in society. And like I said, in the beginning of the episode, I do feel like history has played a big role in that. Mm-hmm. You know, understanding that historically the woman's role was to just take it. Mm-hmm. And the men's role was to do whatever they pleased. I mean, about like the 50s where, you know, the woman's pushing out the baby and the guy's out in the waiting room with cigars and drinks, you know, scotch in a hand and, you know, circle jerking with his buddies, you know, I don't know.
Again, what is going on in Alaska? They are circle jerking in the hospital while their wives are giving birth. I think you need to leave. What the heck is going on?
Please send help.
Circle jerking.
So, I mean, it's just like, this is history. This is just guys get to do whatever they want. Girls just... our role is to take care of everyone and everything and just take it. And we're seeing that now, like you said, like you get ghosted, you're just supposed to take it. That's still the theme that's run throughout history. It's just that now with technology and access to the apps and everything like that, then it's now we just have to take it. But it is mostly online.
Yes. It's absolutely, well, it's online, it's interfaces, it's the stuff they tell us on the phone, it's all of that stuff. It's just, it's absolutely insane how we're expected to just do like certain things and we really, really shouldn't. But speaking of that, I wanted to let you know that I just got a text message for our new segment, What the Text.
Yes. So,
I'm excited to kind of introduce, or we're excited to introduce, this whole new segment that we have called What the Text. So I know most of us have had these text messages from people that are just so bonkers. So we have this one text that was courtesy of me. If you would like to, I don't know if you have it pulled up there, if you want to read it and talk about it a little bit.
Yes. So the text message says, and for those of us joining on video, I'm actually going to screen share the text. The text says, she says, yeah, for us to go out again. He says, well, I'm seeing someone, not exclusive yet, but heavily looking like that'll be the case. She says, well, I figured I would put it out there. He says, hate to be selfish, but I would still sleep with you. That's just being honest. I feel like that's unfinished business, but I know that's not your style. She says, so you're about to get in a relationship, but you would sleep with me because it's unfinished business. I'm not good enough. I'm good enough to sleep with, but not be with. And he says, when you put it like that, it makes me out to be an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, where to even begin with that?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because there's always backstories to that. So this was a guy that I had gone out on one date with, and we had a great connection. It was amazing. And I don't go home with people on the first date. So he really tried to get me to go home with him. He thought there was a great connection, and there was. And I was like, that's just not what I do. So a few days later, he ended things with me, and he said he didn't want to be in a long distance relationship. And then, you know, he kind of sent, which 30 minutes away isn't necessarily a long distance relationship, but, that was that on that. I was like, okay, that's fine. And then he randomly sent like a message, like asking how I was or whatever. And then, you know, I was like, you know, let's go out again or something. And then this, and it's like, wait, what? Like, how do you just like send something like this? And what do you think I'm going to say to that? Like, yeah, like you're about to get into a relationship. So some other woman thinks that she's just with you, but you want to still sleep with me. Okay. Yeah. Like, what's your address?
Right.
Like,
exactly. How the hell do you expect somebody to respond to that? You know, first of all, I want to say good for you for calling him out on that.
Yeah.
Because yeah, there are so many women that I feel like would, I mean, even if they didn't want to, would just be like, oh, no, thanks. Or, you know, good luck to you, or ghost him and like, fuck you. Or, you know,
right.
I think the way that you articulated yourself and just mm-hmm. kind of calling him out, because I don't think you were being a bitch. You were being honest.
Right.
You know,
it was valid questions. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And his response of, when you put it like that, it makes me out to be an asshole. It's like,
right.
Do you not realize that that's exactly a reiteration of the truth?
Right. That's literally what you are. So this woman thinks right. you guys are about to be in a relationship, and you're still looking to bang other women like before right. you are committed. So that's a great question. Like, when are we committed? Like, oh, we're having the conversation tomorrow, so I'm going to fuck Betty, Sally, and Caroline today. And right. then tomorrow, when I get in the relationship, I'm in the clear.
Right.
No, that's literally not how that works. So
right.
no, it's just like so like crazy. But so we started this segment to see like different text messages where like people got, or, you know, that were either funny or insane or something quite like this. So if you have some, make sure you post them, tag them, send them to us. We'd like to read them, talk about them. If you have text messages that are confusing and you don't know what they're all about, send them over and we'll definitely take a look at them, because we're going to start doing that at the end of each podcast.
Yeah. I'm so excited for this new segment because there's just mountains of content out there.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And I have quite a few myself. So yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. So like Kelly said, tag us, send them to us. We're excited to get them on the air, read them, analyze them, and you'll hear exactly what it is that we think.
Yes, we will. Yes, you will. Absolutely, without a doubt. Well, that's about all the time we have for today's episode, Kelly. Thank you so much. I think we had a pretty good time with this one.
Yeah. And next week, I think we're going to be getting into some more shenanigans. So
yes, we definitely will be. So be sure to tune in to see what kind of stuff we have going on.
be sure to hit that subscribe button so that you don't miss any of these wicked deep dating conversations.
If you have any dating questions, leave us a voicemail using the link in the show notes and you can be featured on the show. Until then, be brave.
Navigate the dating BS.
And keep having those bold conversations.